Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Josh. We just celebrated Thanksgiving here in the U.S., but after game week 13, well, it's not quite over yet, but I'm thinking of a few things that I'm not thankful for, mainly yep. Wolves defense, okay?
Yeah. Moshe Davidovic said, has there ever been a more hated player than Aaron Moy this game week? I don't even blame Aaron Moy. You know, I kind of like Aaron Moy. I blame Wolves entirely. I blame them and their weird game plan. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much you want to blame or you know, how much Johnny had to do with all of this, but that they did not come out of the gate ready to play today.
Yeah, you do wonder. I mean, we could talk much more about Wolves, but we're coming right out of an international break, and game weeks tend to be a little weird, a little wobbly coming out of international breaks. On Saturday, yeah. The fixtures kind of went true to form, what we expected. But Sunday, this felt like a real international break, post-international break game week with
yeah.
the weird Wolves results, Arsenal, Bournemouth. It was a competitive match, but still everyone didn't seem to be up to 100%.
Yeah, it was, I guess you're right. Things were true to form. You know, we didn't have, Aguero blanked. Charlison blank, Marshall blank. So, you know, a lot of very popular captains. Everyone but Mo Salah, really, and I suppose Sadio Mane.
Raheem Sterling, right?
Right. I just didn't feel like I saw a lot of people talking about Sterling. I mean, I think there was even some talk that he might be rested this weekend. Mm-hmm. So, I know that, I mean, every single person who you know, captain Sterling obviously went onto social media and you know, took a screenshot of it and shared it and talked about how smart they were. And more power to you. But, outside of Sterling, I don't feel like there was, you know, any huge explosion. I mean, I guess even Salah got his customary zero bonus points, you know, for his goal. So,
and we talked yeah. about David Silva and his now famous imperious nine pointers. So there he was with a nine pointer.
Yeah, exactly. So I had, to me, it was an intensely, in some ways it actually, I have finished on 45 points, which is, I guess, probably kind of mediocre. I'm really not sure exactly how the average was so high this game week. I guess people doubled up on Salah and Sterling. Dead teams did well. I don't know.
Like, yeah, Man City defense, I think, boosted a lot of people.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
But it seems like overall we're seeing a lot of scores in that kind of 40 to 50 range. You know, tomorrow we have Newcastle Burnley, which I don't think is going to move the overall average up, you know, very much. I mean, it certainly wasn't a big enough game for us to wait a day to do the podcast.
Yeah, I'm looking at the FPL Fix site, and the standard average with Newcastle Burnley left to go is 46 points. Only 45 points for the teams in the top 1,000 overall in the world.
Right.
So really a marginal difference there. So it just seems like not a week in which a lot of people are going to shift up or down unless they really went out on a limb with something like a Sterling captaincy.
Yeah, exactly. And so 45 is one of those like, it's fine. Like I think that it looks like I'm right around 30K right now. So I've dropped about 6,000 to 7,000. Which, you know, it's really that comes down to Chelsea, who could not have possibly looked worse than they did in that match. Only yeah. Olivier Giroud came off looking well in his like 15 minutes of match time, 30 minutes, whatever yeah. it was. That game was insane. And, you know, it made that, you know, it's one thing to make a bad transfer, which I obviously did with Morata a couple of weeks ago. It's another thing for him to look so humiliatingly bad. You know, it was like, it felt like it was like a reflection on me. And like, you know, just for the record, he had, you know, 5 goals and six matches before I brought him in. Like, it's amazing just how far he fell just that quickly. It was like remarkable just how poor he looked. And it was a bad transfer. I'm fine with that. But, you know, for him to get two 1-pointers back to back, was very frustrating, especially, you know, the players that I had looked to bring in, you know, the more logical pick last week would have been Jimenez, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, were Jimenez and Richarlison. I ended up bringing in Morata and Brooks. So, you know, the one like kind of upside here, I guess, is Brooks actually finished on 5 points and Morata obviously with his one, but that actually outscored Jimenez and Richarlison this game week. So I guess that's like the one like minor bright spot.
Take that, haters.
Yeah, is that Brooks actually like the other part of his transfer. Brooks actually came up looking pretty good.
Looked phenomenal against Arsenal, I have to say.
Had a disallowed goal that probably should have counted.
Definitely.
But thankfully, I actually was still asleep when that happened, or I would have been steaming. So I did wake up in time to see the assist. Brooks to me is a keeper. I'm actually thinking about the plan was to move him out this game week because I want to bring in a Man City midfielder. But now I think I'm actually going to move Kennedy instead, who's the reason to move Brooks was just that the fixtures are a little bit worse and he's a little bit more expensive. But I just don't know if I can move him right now. As long as he doesn't have to play in that Man City fixture, which I really, I actually think I might play five at the back this game week. As long as he doesn't play in that, then I'd have Huddersfield, Wolves, and Brighton in three of the next four for Bournemouth. So, I mean, you know, some of the really rough run of fixtures for Bournemouth is actually starting to come to an end. You know, and they just have these two tough ones. You know, I guess over the holidays, it's kind of a mixed bag for them. It's not great. But I would love to have Brooks at home for Huddersfield and Brighton, you know, as well as Wolves away. Right. I mean, I can't say that I'm too intimidated by Wolves defense at the moment, you know. Are you feeling the same way about Fraser?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Fraser is, to me, slightly different than Brooks insofar as a lot of people with Fraser have a lot of value built up in him.
Yeah.
So you take that whole value discussion, set it aside, and I then think you could put Fraser and Brooks on the same level and that they both look like their attacking output might be steady and equal as the season goes.
Yeah.
Fixtures, as you said, don't look so great, but Bournemouth is one of the most attacking mid-table sides right now. And I don't know, so sort of the way we talked about the value of Wolves earlier in the season, Bournemouth are still using that attacking mentality. They still have players that are cheap enough to fit into any little weak spot you have in your team. So, I feel exactly the same. Ride out these tough fixtures. I think we'll be rewarded over the long haul.
So, we want to talk quickly about our transfers this game week. I started to talk to you about it before the podcast. I was like, no, I'm going to save it for the pod. So one of the things that that I think everyone who has been playing the game for a long time knows is that you are just occasionally going to make a very bad transfer. You know, you're just going to make a silly move. You're going to get into your head. You're going to overthink something. And you're just going to really get caught out, you know, like I did with Morata. And Morata is what it is with Morata. He probably has to go as soon as possible. I have to really decide whether, I just have to decide whether he's going to start at home to Fulham. If he starts at home to Fulham, I probably have to keep him. You know, and I just don't know. I mean, it kind of depends on who plays in the Europa League, maybe. If he plays like 90 in that, then I would assume that Giroud is going to start this weekend.
What do you do if Giroud plays like 70? Plays 70.
If Giroud starts and plays 70, then I'll probably keep Morata. It would be really tough. I don't know. I really want to do is just burn four, and I want to bring in whatever Man City player doesn't play in the Champions League at midweek. So I would love it if Leroy Sané didn't play at midweek, in which case I would definitely bring him in. As it is, it's kind of a tight window right now. Man City have a midweek fixture. The Champions League fixture this coming weekend, another fixture on, I think, Wednesday, and then they play Chelsea away 3 days later, right? So they have four fixtures coming up in the next, you know, whatever that is, you know, the next 14 days. So is that right? Am I doing the math right? Yeah, you know, like 13 days, whatever it is. So, you know, it's a really tough window. And so, I feel like, for any Man City player, they're not going to start all three of those. But if you can get them for two out of three, then it's probably still worth it, especially given how explosive they are at home. So, but if Sané plays 90 minutes at midweek, I don't think I want him for I think there's at least a chance he wouldn't start this weekend.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the transfers we made this week, which we still haven't got to anyway, on your team.
Yeah, sorry. I'm like a little, I'm excited, Brandon. I'm excited to talk about Man City players. I ended up bringing, very long story short, we all make bad transfers. It is what it is. But the real issue here is like, and this is like anyone who's gone to a casino and lost a lot of money knows, the temptation is to keep making maverick moves and like double down and triple down and just like and you just want, like, you end up like this crazy team where like no one in your team is like on a top six team in the Premier League, and you've got like all these weird differentials, and you've got like, you know, like, well, I've got like Huddersfield's talisman, like, what is that word? You know, it's like you said, this weird combination of players. And so I was like, I don't want to put myself in that position. And I was like, I just want to make one simple transfer this game. Like, I don't want to burn four. I don't want to overcorrect. I just want to make one move. And that was to replace Mendy. And so after thinking it through a lot, I ended up going with Lucas Digne, who picked up 6 points. It looked like he was going to be out for two bonus points. Unfortunately, he ended up missing out on those by just one BAP. But picked up a clean sheet from Digne, two home matches at home to Newcastle and Watford in game weeks 15 and 16. So I felt pretty good about that move. It also freed up about 1.5 billion in cash. So it's a move that helps me to fund a Man City midfielder as well. And then obviously, yeah, I got the clean sheet from him too.
Yeah. My transfer for this week actually happened far earlier than I had hoped. Since it's an international break, you know, so many players are in motion, injuries can happen. You're waiting for as much intel to come in as possible. I felt I got trapped by the shifting of player value. I was still sitting on James Maddison, and he was going to drop by 0.1 the same night that Martial was going to go up. This was a move that I was contemplating. I could have still made the move of Maddison to Martial, even if I let those two price shifts happen. The fact that I was pretty motivated to make it, I felt like, let's just take the risk, because then instead of losing 0.2, I guess I'm making 0.1. So it just seemed worth the risk to make it an early in the international break. And the moment I made it, I think a lot of us new Martial owners are starting to have that strong feeling that we missed all of the points. This is just going to be a guy that we're going to have to shift out in 1 or 2 weeks. Yeah, that is definitely the pain.
It's like the morning after moment where you're like, what did I do last night? Yep.
Let's exercise a little patience. Let's look at Manchester United's upcoming fixtures. And it's Southampton away in game week 14. And Southampton, they didn't look too bright apart from Armstrong, a guy who's just going to come out of nowhere and score two worldies for you.
Sure.
So feeling at least good to give Martial that second chance against Southampton in game week 14. Then it's Arsenal, Fulham until we hit Liverpool in 16. I have to be patient with him. I can't see his value just immediately plummeting because of one blank.
No, I agree. I mean, I mean, that's an amazing run coming up for them. Honestly, the Liverpool away fixture in game week 17 aside, Southampton, Fulham, Cardiff, Huddersfield, Bournemouth. It's extraordinary. It's a really an excellent run of fixtures. And I'm actually looking at possibly bringing in a Man United defender. I actually think Digne to Shaw makes sense, probably around game week 19. Around game week 17. Everton play Man City and Spurs back to back in game week 17 and 18. And I think that's kind of the perfect time to make a move over to Shaw at the same price point. So we'll save that, Brennan, for the week 17 Always Cheating podcast.
Put a pin in that one. but going back to Martial, I think that the fact that I could have held on to Maddison and didn't, and he ended up with this improbable red card, two yellows, and then Richarlison blanking. It wasn't like there was another move that was going to make my team better in the long run. So here we are. I played the armband on Aguero. You did as well.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I didn't feel that bad about the Aguero thing because I was so locked into Aguero. I honestly just didn't. To me, there wasn't a lot of debate. I mean, I just don't have a lot of faith in West Ham's defense, and that was borne out by their terrible performance. A special shout out to Antonio for being the slowest player in the Premier League. I've never seen a player get more breakaways, and like he was walking with the ball. I've never seen a player walk on a breakaway before. I don't know if he just doesn't have the legs anymore or not. I mean, they you know, I don't know if he shouldn't be starting if he can't run, but he was truly, truly terrible in that match. Like if I was doing like player ratings, he would be like a -3 in that match.
Wow. I mean, the extended highlights I watched, I saw a few, like a really nice cross that he put in that Belblino almost got.
Okay, maybe a -1.
Got into the back of the net. All right. But, I mean, it was no Murata performance. So I'll say that at least.
No. All right. So, yeah, we're moving on here, Brandon. Let's we can't talk about the always cheating Super League right now, but just because we still have one game week to go. But we will update that on social media on Monday night or early Tuesday morning. Just a quick heads up. Tomorrow night, you and I are recording the Ask Us Anything podcast. We will answer any question about any topic. Can be from our personal lives. It can be FPL related. It can be about movies, film. That's the same thing. Movies, music, books, art. I don't know. Any question you might have, relationship advice. Anyone who's been awake on Friday night when Brendan does his relationship corner knows that Brendan has fantastic. Brendan, you've loved and lost so much over the years. I guess that's what it is.
I've seen enough for the entire FPL community in my lifetime. Yeah.
So this is the questions and the podcast will be exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you want to support the podcast on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. And we have a channel on our Slack where people are doing the Ask Us Anything and they're asking the questions there. If you weren't on Slack or just don't want to use it, fair enough. Maybe you have enough social media networks in your life already, but you are a Patreon supporter and you want to ask a question, you can just email us or ask us on Twitter or Facebook or text us somehow. Find our
phone. Anyone my personal phone number.
All right, fair enough. Brandon's not giving away his phone number.
Maybe if you're a producer level patron, I'll give you my phone number.
that's a new like tier, like new level perk. Reward. Yeah. And then Brandon, we have our shop finally as well.
Yeah, we've teased it a few times on the pod and it's finally open, the Always Cheating shop. All you have to do is go to alwayscheating.com/shop or go to alwayscheating.com and just click shop up there at the top of the page. And we have three exclusive items here. We have a t-shirt. It's a black t-shirt. And you can go see the designs on the site, but the t-shirt says Folks and Poku and Sorloth and Mbakani, the four patron saints of Always Cheating.
We also,
yeah, exactly. And we have a gray sport sweatshirt that's going to keep you warm and cozy during these dreary festive period fixtures that says the same thing, and a coffee mug that says Always Cheating on it. So check them out. I believe that we are offering them at some very competitive pricing. But if you become a supporter of the podcast through our Patreon page, we are sending a 10% discount to all of our patrons to use on the shop on any and all items. And that discount is going to be good through the end of the year, through December 31st. Get your holiday shopping done early. So if you're interested in shopping and shopping with a discount, hit us up on our Patreon page. Otherwise, just go and check out our wares at alwayscheating.com/shop.
Yep, and that'll be open to patrons old and new. So if you're a current patron, we'll send an email out to everybody with the discount code as well. But the mug in particular, Ren, I think is very sharp. Really, that one really came out well. So a quick Patreon thank you to new Sorloth patron Gavin O'Donnell and two new Mbakani patrons, DH and Jared Wiedemeyer. Maybe it's Wiedemeyer. I don't know, Brandon. That's a tough one.
Let us know, Jared, or we'll live in mystery.
But thank you to Gavin, DH, and Jared. Brandon, our rant of the week. We actually have two rants this week. One comes from a longtime friend of the podcast, James Querrell. He says, in the last 3 weeks, I've transferred out Trent, Mitro, and Vardy. I also transferred out Pickford right before two penalty saves, and David Silva right before his amazing run of form. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think that's like more than just the tip of the iceberg. That's like a significant part of the iceberg, right?
It's a global warming iceberg right there.
He says, should I A, impose a complete transfer ban on myself, B, hire a director of football to be in charge of my transfers, or C, just go and focus my time and effort on something that isn't FPL? Wow. Blasphemous, Brandon.
I think what James ought to do actually is hire Daniel Levy. I know you're a Spurs fan, James, but if you get Daniel Levy on board, he won't let you spend any money or make any transfers.
That's true.
It sounds like that's exactly what you need. You need somebody with rigorous control over your finances and your bank account. Mm-hmm. He'll allow you to accrue team value without making any moves whatsoever.
Yeah, I transferred out Mitro too, and that one definitely hurts. And I almost transferred out Trent, in which case I'd be really, really kicking myself right now. It was a good week for this week was a good reminder of patience. You know, it's always hard to know just how patient you want to be. Yeah. I mean, you know, with Mitro, it was like we always kind of knew that his confidence would come back, that they would probably fire their manager and get somebody new. You just didn't know when it was going to happen. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if we knew Ranieri was coming, I probably would have held him for, I would have benched him for the Liverpool match and played him for the Fulham fixture. But at that point we were looking at what, 4 or 5 blanks in a row from him. It was too much. So
I think you
can't feel bad about the Mitro one.
I think we have to talk a little bit about Mitro in the meat of the podcast. But one last rant before we get out of the rant section. This one comes from Ryan Dika. Says played patiently equals red arrow. Took hits equals red arrow. Should I quit now? So Ryan Dika played the game of patience, as you're suggesting, Josh, and it did not work out for him. Then he went kind of maverick, also didn't work out. And that's probably just a matter of ill timing.
Yeah. Just remember that it's 38 weeks, right? It's so hard to remember that sometimes. But, you know, we're not even halfway through. We're not even close to halfway through the season.
We're just a third of the way. We've just crossed the border into the two-thirds portion of the season.
It is an unbelievably long season. You can recover from anything, especially this early on in the season. I know that in some cases, maybe you're not going to be number one in the world right now, and that's just something that's for some people, it's a real aspiration. For me, it's just not. It just feels like too many things have to go right for that to happen. Like, basically, you need to – I feel like, you know, the only way I would ever feel that way is if I started the season and, like, if I got, like, a top 5,000 score in game week one, maybe I would think about it, you know. But otherwise, in most seasons, you're, like, you're 246,000 in the world after game week one. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, there you go. It's not happening this year, you know. So, I think that you got to just ride this stuff out because you're – you know, two green arrows in a row and you're going to forget all about these red arrows.
Absolutely. All right, coming up, we have 5 questions for the festive fixtures. We're going to talk about Man City assets, Spurs players, second, third forwards, clean sheets, and also captains heading into this massive festive period. So take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Brandon, we're back. As you just noted, 5 questions for the festive fixtures. Everyone's starting to think long term. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to have a full on festive fixture preview because it just starts to hit you. And I almost feel like it's starting this way. I mean, it's such a long stretch, too. It's hard to preview 9 or 10 game weeks at a time, you know? Yeah. Even now, like we pulled this kind of this chart of, you know, the festive fixtures, you could argue that they start this weekend, right? They are, it's the first days of December come up this weekend. And, you know, there's a midweek fixture, and then there's just a ton of fixtures that go right through game week 21, which is the first couple days of January. So, you know, we're looking at an 8 game week window. It's very hard to ever really properly, you know, plan out anything over an 8 game week stretch. It's just too many injuries and too much rotation. But I think that you can look at some broad topics, you know, the 5 questions that we're going to ask, right, are we want to rank the best City assets as we enter the holiday fixtures. We're going to talk about what Spurs players we trust, if any. We're going to talk about who is the best. I said third forward. It could possibly be second forward, depending on what kind of rotation you've got. Then we're going to talk about cheap clean sheets and how to get them. And then we're going to talk about, finally, festive fixture captains, which, again, is one of those ones that's kind of tricky. But I think if you think about it, depending on what captains you use, could be the difference between whether you keep someone like Salah or not, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to talk about all these. I'll start with number one. Can you rank the best City assets as we enter the holiday fixtures?
Our first question comes from Disable, a.k.a. Luke from the Fantasy Football Scout, asks, is going with triple City midfield, e.g. Sané, Sterling, Silva, a viable option? They score over 3 goals a game and only really have Mahrez to challenge their position, so guarantee yourself a large piece of the pie. All right, let's talk about the goal scorers on Manchester City. And I think coming out of game week 13, there are three at the tip of our tongues, or I guess at the forefront of our mind. Sané, yeah. Sterling, Silva, can you rank them? I think right off the cuff, yeah. Sterling, most expensive, however, most valuable. Then
right.
It appears at the moment to be, or you could argue it's a coin toss between Sané and Silva. Here's my right. case, and then I'll throw it to you, Josh. I think
okay, sure.
It's the classic argument of consistency versus explosivity. And Sané, very explosive player. We've seen him start basically every other game week. Is that mm-hmm. going to change because Mendy is out long term? Right. And if that is going to change, we're going to see more regular starts. Then Sané looks better. Silva, though, is more affordable and more consistent. However, he is, as we know, imperious in his desire to only score 7 to 9 points any given game.
Right. It is crazy that you don't get more double-digit fixtures from him, given how involved he is, given how often it seems like he has a chance to go. I remain amazed that he only has 2 assists on the season and that both of them came in the same match. Like, yeah. How is it that in 13 matches this season, he hasn't had an assist in 12 of them? That seems so improbable for him, right?
He's entered into the Lionel Messi stage of his career.
Yeah. I mean, he has double-digit assists in 6 of the last 7 seasons, and in the other season, he had 9. So, I mean, this guy is an assist machine. It's crazy that he hasn't.
Yeah, I wonder if with Pep's system, so much of the attacking play is coming via the wings now and, mm-hmm. and less down the middle, and Silva tends to sit David Silva tends to sit more in the middle, so right. that's why you're seeing all of these assists come from the likes of Mane and Sané and Sterling and Mahrez.
I think that I just think that the Mendy injury completely changes the way that we think about Sané, and I think that 2 weeks ago I was very pro Silva. I was looking at Silva was the player that I was really leaning towards, and now I think it has to be it's such a knee-jerk thing, right? Because somebody gets 19 points in a game week and it's very hard to look past them, you know. But I do think that he just fills that he's so fast, and he's such an outlet for that team, you know. Like when they I feel like anytime they get like the he's great on the road, I think, in particular, because if they get like just like the sliver of a break, you know, he is the perfect player to feed it out to, because he can beat like almost any fullback, you know, in like a dead sprint. So I don't know. I think that he's the player that I'm really looking at right now. And yeah. I would not be at all, you know, I would not feel at all bad about burning 4 to bring him in this weekend. And he's also a player that, like, because of that explosiveness thing you were talking about a second ago,
yeah.
It feels like less of a
explosivity. Okay, that's the word.
Explosivity. There's always a risk, you know, to burn 4 in a Man City midfielder, because there's just a chance that you might not even play at all, you know, and yeah. Or maybe they play for 1 minute or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But if there's a strong chance that Sané is playing this weekend at home to Bournemouth, it could be another massive double-digit haul for him.
Yeah. Taking our teams out of the equation, I think it's just interesting to step back and say, if we could start from scratch, if we're building a wild card team,
yeah, yeah,
what do you do? And Jeff Petter and Peter Locke are asking the same question: is Aguero no longer essential to our team? So, if
right,
is that true for us both being Aguero owners? And if so,
right.
What does your City lineup look like? I would argue right now, I frankly don't know how I feel about Aguero at the moment. I think I'm still pro Aguero. Just he's really struggling on the road this season for whatever reason. And yeah, that is a problem because he's expensive and you're going to hesitate to captain him on the road. But he is still scoring more FPL points than any of these other guys are at the moment. I'm still looking, right, though, at City as 2 attacking assets and 1 defensive asset if I'm going for 3 of them for the rest of the season. Because yeah, Laporte is just so steady, such good value, and the adage of if you're getting 6 points week on week out from a midfielder, right, you'd say it's definitely worth it. So yeah, I just like hedging those bets with a little more consistency with Laporte. So then I wonder, do I go Laporte, Sterling, Sané? Do I go Laporte, Sané, Aguero?
Yeah.
I just don't know.
It's tricky because, you know, the real question is, can you can you take Aguero out of your team and find anybody to replace him with? I mean, because really, I mean, if you're taking him out of your team, you're not doing it for, you know, to bring in Aubameyang, right? You're doing it to bring in someone who's 3 or 4 million cheaper so that you can put more money into your midfield. So if you're doing that, is there anybody who can even approximate his returns? You know, it's just the flip side. It's so hard, like, you know, like these situations happen all the time where, like, you know, a couple of midfielders take off and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna start burning points to bring in, to bring in these players, and you sort of just neglect whatever you're losing, you know, like whatever you give up in order to get them, you know. And I just think that the real question is, you know, is are there any consistent 7 million forwards? I mean, maybe Artie, possibly, although he keeps, you know, limping off in every single match.
Callum Wilson's got to be up there in your mind.
Callum Wilson. Yep. Callum Wilson's got to be up there. I mean, Mitro, I mean, how can you, I know he just got a brace, but you can't trust him, really.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Are we getting ahead of ourselves here? We have a whole section devoted to third forward slots.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's not get too into the third forwards, but I mean, you know, this is the question, is if you drop Aguero, can you, you know, in order to bring, you know, are the attacking returns you're going to get from the Man City midfielders so good? Let's say if you're tripling up, let's say that it makes up for whoever you're going to have to replace him with. And I mean, God, just look at Jimenez this weekend, right? I mean, that guy, he just does not look like a world-class striker a lot of the time. No. Yeah. He only has 3 goals in the season. You know, one of them was a penalty. One of them was in game week one. You know, I don't mean to pick him out. I mean, you know, he really should have had at least a goal in this match, but you know, there's just not a lot of, you're just giving up so much. And, you know, Guerrero's the 5th highest scoring player in the league this year. You know, he's got 8 goals and 6 assists on the season. He did have a very poor match. It looked kind of anonymous. If he does that again, then, you know, like again this weekend at home to Bournemouth, maybe you do. I just wonder if he had too long off, you know? I mean, he didn't do anything for 2 weeks, basically, right? Didn't he go to Los Angeles or something and hang out? And I just wonder if maybe, like, he just had to get, you know, he wasn't ready for the intensity level or something. It was a strange match for him, very anonymous.
Yeah, I saw all the goals scored, all these balls are whizzing through the 6-yard box, and Aguero is just always waiting around the penalty spot for the drag back, or not the pullback pass.
You would have thought, if you'd never seen this team play before, you would have thought that Raheem Sterling was the forward in this match, you know?
Yeah.
Was the forward in the squad, and then Aguero was like more like an attacking midfielder or something. You know, Sterling was so central.
Yeah. All right. Let's zero in more on the Raheem Sterling question. Sumant Noctar writes in and says, Sterling is definitely essential, but to get him for Hazard, who has good fixtures coming up, or for Mo Salah, who is returning a goal a week, nothing more, nothing less. That's the question. So question A, how must have is Sterling right now? And question B is, are you dropping Hazard or Salah? I dropped Hazard for Sterling, but that was less a difficult decision because Hazard was going to miss a week, and I took advantage and brought in Sterling at that time. And right now that's proved to be a pretty great move because Hazard has just done his Hazard thing and dropped off the face of the fantasy.
I think that's a pretty great move. Yeah, that worked out very well. I mean, okay, look at this question. And then, so he says, let him go for Sterling, for Hazard, who has good fixtures, or for Mo Salah, who's returning a goal week, nothing more, nothing less. So get rid of the clause, nothing more, nothing less in there. And I think you got the answer to your question, right? So get rid of Hazard, who has good fixtures, or Mo Salah, who's returning a goal a week, right? It's like, do you want to get rid of the player who scores a goal every single week? Or do you want to get rid of the player who has good fixtures? And I think that kind of, the answer is pretty obvious when you think about it that way.
Tomorrow is always a new day, but what we have come to find out, what we thought was happening earlier in the season was Hazard was reinvigorated by Sarri ball, and this was just going to be an exciting, explosive player through the rest of the season. What we've learned over the last month is, nope, still the same Eden Hazard, still the same great player who will prove to be a huge expensive problem over the course of a few months for your fantasy team. Right? We'll look at Hazard at the end of game week 38, and he'll probably have accumulated quite a few points. He's going to be very frustrating to own. Why not take a player like Sterling over Hazard, who is playing for the best team in the league and is doing what Mo Salah is doing, but to a greater degree right now?
Well, yeah, and just the thing about, I mean, Salah, it's like, who cares if he's not getting bonus points? If he's averaging you 8 points every single game week, or, you know, he's at 8, 15, 2, 8, and 8 in the last five. I mean, it's those are fantastic returns, like, you know, bonus points aside.
Have you considered any team surgery to, instead of Silva or Sané, go for Sterling?
No, I haven't, because I want to move Hazard to Sterling. Yeah. And so that doesn't seem, and I want to keep Hazard for the Fulham match. I don't know how you can drop Hazard before the Fulham match. That just would be, I mean, Sterling plays Bournemouth at home. It's a comparable match. But I just don't see that as a, I don't know. It feels too complicated. Like, in order to have Hazard and Sterling at the same time would just be, I don't know, maybe. I mean, I guess the one way to do it too would be to not burn four this game week and roll without another without a Man City midfielder again. I just, like, how many weeks can I go without a Man City midfielder?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, how many weeks can these guys roll up, you know, somewhere between 8 and 20 points apiece while I just sit on the sidelines not having any of them, you know? So,
yeah.
But dropping Salah to me isn't the answer.
Are we satisfied with our City talk?
Okay. I'm satisfied.
Good.
Question number two, what Spurs players do you trust, if any? Well, Brandon, Tottenham Hotspur. We've not talked about them very much in the podcast this year.
It's finally time. They've waited long enough, and finally they put in an excellent performance against Chelsea.
They destroyed Chelsea. You must have been so delighted. I mean, who cares about Alonso, right? Alonso's so highly owned. But, I mean, not having Hazard or anybody else in that game, must have been great.
It was great. And for the second week in a row, Morata finishes with minus BPS. I don't mean to
he's
twist the knife on you.
No. I don't care. I'm past it. I'm over it. Yeah, he's gone. Yeah. He's a clown.
All right. Dave for Burley asks, how many Spurs players to get and who? The guy that just really catches my eye is, well, I think you said it on our Twitter feed during the Chelsea Spurs matches. It was effectively just like old times, Christian Eriksen to Dele Alli. So now we will be faced with the same question. Do you go Eriksen or do you go Alli? And right. I'm feeling Alli right now myself, or Dele, I guess I should say.
I'm kind of feeling neither. I don't know. I mean, would you rather have Eriksen Alli or David Silva?
Yeah, I guess coming out of game week 13, I'm definitely starting to I'll be tinkering around to see what moves does one have to make to consider a Spurs player. But yeah, if I'm making an immediate move coming out of 13, it's for David Silva. If that's the question.
Yeah, and if the question is Sané versus Eriksen and Alli, I think you have to go Sané as well.
Yeah.
So I think Kane is the one that I am most interested in. And like, this is like the part where I'm like, okay, we're finally doing this, you know, like it's finally time to maybe seriously consider him. Right. So they play Arsenal away in game week 14. So, you know, I mean, not that he couldn't score in that match, but that's not like the time to bring him in, I don't think. But Southampton at home in game week 15, that is a superb fixture. And that is really, really a one where you'd love to have Kane. I don't know if I can actually do it. I don't know how I would even make it work. But, you know, it's a great run for them, right? I mean, Southampton, Leicester, Burnley, Everton, Bournemouth, Wolves, Cardiff. Do they have the best run of any team throughout the festive fixtures?
West Ham's run looks pretty good, exceptional. The problem is you don't really trust West Ham on any given week.
Right. But do you trust any of the Spurs midfielders right now? Like, I kind of trust Kane just because despite his like kind of frustrating season, he's still in 7 goals in the year. He's still, you know, it's so easy for him to score goals, you know, even when he's not in great form. Obviously, he's still on penalties. But those Spurs midfielders, I'm just a little worried about minutes. And then Ellie was like, John with somebody again, and just like, I don't know if I want the Man City experience or the Spurs experience right now.
Yeah, you know, I think
I need more time.
Even Dele jawing at the official does make me even reinforce the idea that the good times are finally back, because that's the Dele of old. You do want to see a little bit of fire with them. And at least what you know you're going to get with Spurs over the festive period is a stability in the lineup. As we were talking about with James Kuralt's question, is they haven't signed anybody. Who else do they play? I mean, there's going to be some rotation probably with Son and Lucas Moura and Lamella. But I would be surprised to see any rotation with those three main attackers, Kane and Eriksen and Dele Alli. So that makes them much more appealing.
I guess Eriksen, I guess, would be the one player who there's maybe some worry about just because of his, if he does still have this, it's an abdominal injury, right? So I don't know if that's something that maybe might make it hard for him to play two matches in 4 days, if it's like, so if that were the case, then maybe he's a slightly risky pick, right? Yeah. Just because he may sit out a little. It's not that I think he'll be fine when he plays, but he may sit out more than some of the other kind of top players in that bracket.
Yeah. Jorgen Rakvag asks, Christian, wow, he's back. Seems like Kane can benefit from Eriksen's passes. So Kane for Aguero in Christmas or Eriksen for Hazard in Christmas. You were talking about Eriksen a couple weeks ago as somebody you're really targeting. And this is the patience pick, I think, and that right. If Eriksen and Spurs are finally back on form, he can be the more appealing one, and that he's not relying on Dele Alli just getting in a purple patch and scoring a bunch of goals. He's on all the dead balls, right. And just greater opportunity for him to rack up the FPL scores.
Yeah, this was all before I joined the religion of the Man City midfield, Brandon. Mm-hmm. I am now. I was blind and now I can see. And now I don't want anyone except Man City midfielders.
They're kind of screwed by their price points. Is the elephant in the room is at 9.2 and 8.9, I think, is between Dele and Eriksen. Is how do you fit them in when we're talking about all these City players, and we're sort of hovering around Martial right now, and Richarlison is offering exceptional value. Sigurdsson continues to look really terrific. So there is competition here.
Son is, Jeremiah Johnson was asking if Son is more nailed after his performance. I guess I have to wait and see. I mean, he's still only started, I think, one match in the last six fixtures, so there's a little, maybe 2-6. I think that we have to wait and see a little bit on him. His price point is a little more reasonable. It's 8.3 million. You could maybe make a, do a Richarlison or Martial move, to a Martial move to Son, which would be a little more palatable. Yeah. He looked great in the match. That's for sure. What about their defenders? I mean, is there any defenders catch your eye? They're all in that kind of weird bracket, somewhere between like 5.5 and 6 million.
Yeah, Trippier just had an explosive, there's that word again. Trippier just had an amazing start to the season, but now he's out with a groin injury. He could be back early in the festive period. He's due back, it looks like, by December 2nd, but given all of the options at Pochettino's disposal on the wings in the back, that is a concern to me. The good news is Vertonghen is coming back. He's back in training, and he should replace the legendary Foyth. I just don't see. I think that they will be strengthened by Vertonghen coming back into central defense. I thought Lloris had a fairly decent game against Chelsea. You'd be encouraged by that, but I just don't see value, FPL value here. I can't justify it.
No, I don't either. And you really don't want those Spurs fullbacks for the, because Poch tends to rotate them a lot. Well, I guess it's like in a normal year where they're not injured. You're right. Let's just avoid the whole defense. I can't recommend anyone, and they're too expensive. There's not even like a fun value option. There's not like a Luke Shaw in that team. Where it's like, hey, they're 5 million, maybe it's worth a shot.
Just to put a button on the midfield discussion with Spurs, I do see this as a possible good differential during the festive period. I agree. I couldn't recommend going without any Manchester City midfielder, but if you can do something to squeeze them, and if you can see in your team where you can make room to bring in Eriksen or Alli, I think that would be an exciting differential for the holidays.
Yeah. I agree, but they're just too expensive. I think maybe if you went with like a really cheap forward line, you could get away with, I don't know. I guess you could go with Mane over Salah. That might be the way to do it, too. So, All right, let's move on to question number three, Brandon. Who is the best third forward? We have a new name in that third forward category. Once an old name has become a new name, Brandon. Juan Aguito says, Ranieri says, Mitro is one of the best strikers in Europe. It's a time for the cheater community to jump back on the Mitro Express.
Does Ranieri cast a vote in the Ballon d'Or? Because if he is, I mean, it could actually be an exciting race for once.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I mean, Mitro like lit it up in the over the international break, and so I wasn't surprised to see him come out hot, you know, especially with the new manager. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you catch any of the Fulham match? I mean, I thought he both of his goals were pretty. It wasn't they were powerful, but they were kind of cheeky, you know, like
yeah,
they were
creative goals. The thing that's most encouraging to me is they were reminiscent of their championship run last season, and Ryan Sessegnon impressed more than anyone else, and he looked electric. And I'm not saying I would not recommend Sessegnon at 6.0 for your FPL team, but I think what that does do is it points toward possible future returns for Mitro. If the team, if the great attacking team from last season is going to coalesce again, that's what you want to see. So Sess to Mitro. That Sess pass to Andre Schürrle to open up the scoring, or the second goal that they scored, was fantastic. So yeah. I like it, but there is this thing that we talk about, the new manager bounce, and they were playing Southampton at home. It was like a perfect storm of reasons why Fulham would win. And the fact that they won 3-2 still means you have lots of question marks about their defense. But point is, Mitro, I think, regardless, 6.6, absolutely worth a punt. And we can talk a little bit about Arnie in this category, and Arnie is causing a lot of anxiety in the FPL community. He is perpetually yellow flagged, even though he starts every game week. And now there are these rumors swirling around that Manchester United are sniffing around him for the January transfer window. That seems like it could be tapped up by his agent or something like that. But I am. If I were to look to switch Arnie to anyone right now, it'd be Mitro, bar none.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to do if you've had Mitro for weeks and weeks and seen him disappoint so much. But yeah, I mean, you have to throw him up there. You have to just put aside the past and embrace the fact that there is. You know, I mean, first of all, the new manager bounce is like a real thing that has been like statistically shown to like happen time and again, right? Which is, you know, a team just goes on like a tends to like, you know, their points, you know, tend to rise in the weeks after, you know, a new manager comes in, especially if they've been maybe performing like a little below expectations before that. And we know that Fulham is a talented team and they just needed someone who could maybe bring them together. Now, again, it's been one game week and they play Chelsea next week. So, you know, let's talk again when they lose, you know, 4-1 or something like that.
Yeah, right. It's the West London Derby away. It's the Chelsea fans are going to be up for that. And Ranieri's brief is to shore up that defense, which is, I guess, my counterpoint to the point I was making earlier is his brief would be to shore up the defense. And how do you do that and still let everyone run free and try to score goals? So in the really in the tougher fixtures, I'm concerned about Mitro's output.
Yeah, I think what's nice is that he doesn't have a super difficult run. Once you get past game week 14, it's home to Leicester, home to West Ham, home to Wolves, home to Huddersfield, all throughout the away match at Newcastle up in there as well. So a ton of really, you know, solid, fairly light fixtures. And, you know, he's a big, strong guy. I don't see him getting rotated a ton. It would be nice to have someone like, and they need to get as many points as they can get, right? So, you know, he's not going to be resting a ton over the holidays. So if you want a consistent player, like someone who you think is going to be 90 minutes week in and week out, he's kind of elevates him, I think, as a prospect.
Yeah, a few other options here. JL suggests Glenn Murray, Jimenez, dare we say Rondon. So we still haven't
JL
seen Rondon.
Me, actually.
Oh, cool. Josh Landon. Interesting. writing into your own podcast. We still haven't seen Rondon's performance against Burnley to say how he's going to perform after that brace and before the break. So we've got Mitra on one hand. We're talking about staying the course with Arnie, given these insane fixtures for West Ham. Who is the third guy that jumps out that's not either of those two guys? So we saw Jimenez look like a complete klutz and a poor decision maker today against Huddersfield.
Right.
I'm going to stay the course with Jimenez because I just wonder if it was a bad coming out of the international break or discombobulated performance. And still very good value. The reason I picked him up, the reason why most people pick up Jimenez is the value, 5.9 consistent starts, a generally fluid team on the pitch in terms of attack. So he offers a lot of upside despite just 3 goals on the season.
What about Will Zaha? Does he like, I mean, I know like that is a very unsexy pick and no one's gonna be rushing out to get him, but 6.7%, fairly reasonable price. They have a really solid run of fixtures over the festive break. A lot of good home fixtures, Cardiff, Leicester, Burnley at home, and 3 of the next 6. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, does he appeal at all to you? Like, you haven't had him at all this season, have you?
I haven't. I don't think he's looked especially good apart from a few flashes of brilliance. It's that amazing, like, solo goal he scored maybe in game week 3. He's had moments, but I generally don't like him as a player or an FPL asset because he relies too heavily on getting fouled in the box. And
yeah,
you know, he's not the penalty taker there. So if Zaha's winning his own penalties, then I think it's more interesting. Palace have like they can't score goals anyway. So I don't, even though they were, it seems kind of impressive that they were able to hold United to a 0-0 draw or 0-0 draw. Zaha, the highlights I saw, he's just taking pretty wild swings at the ball. The goal and Andros Townsend got closest to De Gea.
All right, final question: Are we finally ready to give Glenn Murray any credit? Is there any like?
It'll be game week 38, and I'll still be putting off the Glenn Murray question.
All right. On that note, let's move on to question 4 out of 5 here. We're going to speed things up just a little bit, Brandon. Cheap clean sheets. How do we get them over the holiday fixtures? Byron Bruce says if we lost our collective patience with the Wolves defense.
Yeah, of course you would lose your patience with Wolves. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've seen a clean sheet from them. But Cardiff in game week 14. Still, where else are you going to go? Doherty has excellent attacking potential. Patricio is still producing save points. It does still feel like a luxury transfer to move Wolves assets. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to shift Patricio for Matt Ryan. You're going to shift Doherty for Dunk. It just seems like a luxury move. And I think if we're going to exercise patience anywhere, here it is. What did you expect? Even though they're a really flashy team coming out of the championship, they are going to be subject to exhaustion at some point. It could be a rough festive.
I did expect the occasional clean sheet.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. So are you at the point? So you're on Patricio and Doherty as well. Were you calculating how to drop these guys?
No, but I mean, you know, it's been 5 game weeks in a row without a clean sheet. And, you know, in those 5 game weeks, they played Watford, Brighton, and Huddersfield, you know, 2 of those 5 at home. You know, they've conceded 7 goals in those 3 in 3 of those home matches, but that also includes the Spurs game. So, you know, you do sort of wonder where are they valuable then? But the problem is I'm looking at game weeks 14 through 21 and, you know, I'm just not seeing that. I mean, in West Ham is the team that, like, in theory is, like, you know, full of cheap defensive assets. But, you know, God knows they're cheap for a reason, right? Like, those guys don't, like, deliver anything, you know? Nope. I mean, I'd much rather double up on Crystal Palace's defense than have another, you know, West Ham defender. I mean, at least Palace have a bunch of good, you know, home fixtures in the next few game weeks. But the problem is that the teams that have cheap players with good fixtures are teams that you just don't want any part of, right? Like, I don't want a Cardiff defender. I don't want a Huddersfield defender. I don't want a Fulham defender. So there's just no easy answer, I think. I mean, maybe Lucas Dean, I think, for a while is an answer. He's 4.9 million. Luke Shaw, if you can get up to 5 million, I think is an option. Maybe a Newcastle defender.
Yeah, well, I think the broader points, just because we're speaking of the festive period specifically, is you don't have to dump Doherty. You don't have to dump Bennett. You just have to make sure that you have really good rotation in your defense so you can bench these guys if you need to. If you're not feeling that fixture, and there will be a handful of them that come up in December, you're looking at that Chelsea match, Liverpool, Spurs. Because they are priced the way they are, I think I'm quite comfortable benching Doherty. I'm quite comfortable rotating with Patricio. I think the case would be made to not dump Patricio, but maybe if you're still sitting on a guy like Hamer, look long-term and see if you can scrape together 0.5 million and get a decent rotation for this upcoming fixtures. Because that to me solves the problem, is a little more rotation and a little less anxiety about the state of their team.
Yeah. I mean, Doherty is like a, you can honestly play him every single game week because, you know, there's enough attacking threat there. I wonder, he was probably just a little off. I don't think he'd even practice for a couple of weeks, right? Because it was his injury, his facial injury. So probably was a little rusty.
Yeah. All right. Last question is festive fixture captains. Vinyl Richie writes in, who are the best captain options for the heavy December fixture run? Guy Snodis, God Yedweb with Arsenal are unbeaten in 17, and Aubameyang is tied for top scorer. So Harry Kane or Raheem Sterling? I think Guy is an Arsenal fan, so he's still not trusting of Aubameyang. FPL JK also asking, is it worth losing Salah to stack up on premium mids? Is the suggestion there, is Salah even worth captaining, given that he seems to have a threshold? He seems to have a governor on him right now. So this is kind of a tough question, because we have to just refer to the season ticker. You as we always do, you go game week by game week. So who are the best options for the festive period? It really depends on the game week. But I do recall many years ago when Edin Dzeko played on Manchester City, I rolled the dice with him when the rotation during a midweek fixture fell to Dzeko playing against a basement-dwelling team, and it worked out for me. I think you can really target some interesting differentials during the festive period.
Yeah, I think the Aubameyang thing is really interesting, and it would be really – the thing is, Aguero hasn't risen in price that much. So you could try a little bit of like hokey cokey with Aubameyang for some of these festive fixtures. You know, I think it'd be – it's really dangerous, you know. It could really backfire. But, you know, for example, you know, game week 16, when Man City are away to Chelsea, Arsenal at home to Huddersfield, and – it could be a massive game week for someone like Aubameyang, you know,
Or Lacazette even.
Or Lacazette if he's healthy and he's got this groin injury now. So I guess we've got to see how bad that is. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, 2 weeks from now. Sorry, by the way, we're recording this in the afternoon. So if you can hear a kid screaming in the background, I'm not neglecting them. She is with my wife, so it's all good.
I love the idea that the Always Cheaty podcast hosts just leave small toddlers alone in their living rooms to their own devices.
Right, until the podcast is done. Right, exactly. Not doing that. So I think in general, I plan to captain Aguero or Salah in the majority of these fixtures. You know, I think they're both kind of fixture-proof, and at what point do you start considering captaining Sterling, Brandon?
I think I consider him definitely. You have to wonder if Gabriel Jesus starts one of these matches during the festive run for City. So that makes, you can predict maybe that Sterling sits, he doesn't start one match, he'll start the next game week, particularly if there's a midweek fixture. I know he's going to start. Aguero started the previous. You can see where I'm going with this logic. So that,
I do.
I would definitely target Sterling in a situation like that.
I think that makes perfect sense. I mean, okay, let's say that Sterling gets rested at home to Bournemouth in game week 14. Who knows?
Sure.
Let's just say he does.
Okay.
If so, then you feel very confident that two or three days later, you know, game week 15 is a midweek next week, He's almost certainly going to start. It's away to Watford. Watford don't have a particularly impressive defense. You'd imagine Man City would win that game pretty handily. That to me is a real window to possibly consider, you know, captaining Sterling.
I'm going to take your advice, Josh. My
good.
My 2 weeks
away, 15 captain,
two weeks away bus team. It's already set. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. So we mentioned just to wrap this up, we mentioned, you know, so it's the usual suspects. Maybe you try to be a little quick, you know, you could maybe pull off Aubameyang. Is there anyone else that we consider during this window? Hazard, if you still had him, maybe, you know, yep, you could think about him. They even, you know, obviously you've got, you know, this Fulham game week 14. At the moment, I have Hazard captain for that Fulham fixture, despite everything that's happened.
Okay.
It's such a good fixture.
Yeah. I mean, Arnautovic is an interesting one. I mean, we were kind of slagging him off earlier, but some really nice home fixtures for West Ham, Cardiff and game week 15 and Palace. Not so much Palace, given that that will be an East London derby and Palace's defense is a little stouter than others, than Fulham and Watford. I think that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I wish you would quit limping off the pitch every.
It's the limping. You know. It really is the limping.
Yeah. All right, Brendan, I enjoyed that discussion. I feel like I may have possibly learned something.
You're feeling prepped for the holidays?
I'm almost maybe prepped for the holidays.
All that's left is the shopping.
Exactly. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to get back and we're going to take a quick look at game week 14.
Quick word for our friends at Starting 11, the daily fantasy app available for your Android or iPhone. Now we have a big announcement for Starting 11. Mini leagues are available for your iOS device. Just go and download or update your Starting 11 app for iOS so you can join mini leagues with your friends. And Starting 11 already have some pre-set up mini leagues that you can join right away. We've got cash games available on your iOS phone in the UK, US, Canada, and Germany. And new Android also has cash games in the UK. So that is perhaps just as big an announcement. So if you have an Android phone and you have Starting 11, you can now play cash games if you're in the UK. And if you're not in the UK, just download the Starting 11 app for your Android and you can play free games worldwide. Josh, what is Starting 11? Of course, it's a daily fantasy app just for the Premier League. You can play any day in which there are two or more Premier League matches. You have no budget restrictions. You can adjust your lineup on the fly, and you get three in-game substitutions live, so you feel like the manager more than ever. And we're fond of saying this is a fantasy game. This is very much like FPL in a sense, and we know how to play this game. So you don't want to waste money trying to gamble on horses. I don't know. Do you follow the horse races?
Oh, sure. I gamble on the ponies all the time.
Okay, so maybe you're not the target audience, but you be smart and participate in a game that you do understand.
Yep, so Brandon, visit starting11.io. You can watch tutorials on how to play the game, how to join the mini leagues. And the mini leagues, the way it works is it just resets you join these leagues, but then you set a brand new team each weekend. So it's not like you need to, you know, set a team that's good for 10 weeks. It still maintains that sort of that daily fantasy feel, but then you do get a chance to compete regularly against your friends. So starting11.io, learn more, get it for your iOS or Android app today. Brandon, we're back. We're scrapping the lightning round this week. No lightning this week, Brandon.
I have one thing for the lightning round, and it is beer focused. All right. I haven't drunk a beer while recording this podcast in at least a month, but I was very inspired by Stephen Toomey at Sixth Goal on Twitter. He's a big Watford fan and also a fan of brewing beer. And if you followed along his Twitter feed during the Saturday matches, he was brewing a special beer for Always Cheating called Two Cheaters Ale. So in honor of Stephen, I just drank a beer while recording this podcast, and I'm looking forward to trying that beer from you.
This is a true story. Last week when we recorded the podcast, I was drinking a beer myself, and I said, Brendan, are you still, you know, holding firm to not drinking beers while we record the podcast? And you said, not drinking a beer. I am, however, drinking a Manhattan. Yeah, so you're still committed. You know, you didn't want the calories, right? I wanted the
cherries at the bottom of the Manhattan. That's what I really wanted.
Exactly.
All right, cool. So let's hit up game week 14. Let's do a drive-by and preview what's going on.
All right, here's the most important thing to remember is it is a Friday start. It's 8 p.m. On Friday is when it kicks off. You know, Brendan, I am actually going to be in Chicago, so it's going to be a what is that, like a 2 p.m. start? I'm at a conference this game week, so I'm going to miss this whole thing, man. I'm so disappointed.
I am very
Cardiff Wolves. I mean, is this not – this is the biggest match of the year, right?
Well, it'll be the Wolves rehabilitation match.
Can they
do it in Wales? And perhaps it'll be familiar territory to them because it's a championship clash, two promoted teams. They will have played. I mean, as we know, Cardiff is exceptionally unchanged since their championship run. So I think Wolves will probably feel a little bit more familiar and comfortable in this match. So I'm going to stick with my double Wolves defense.
Yeah, I am as well. I don't feel great about it, I have to tell you. I also just think the Cardiff crowd might be fired up for a Friday night match. I mean, I don't know. It seems like, and they're like a little bit on the upswing right now too. Yeah, I'm certainly going to advocate for not doubling up on Wolves, but I don't know. I may consider splitting. I may start Matt D, and then I may actually I may change my my goalkeeper though over to Fabianski. I don't know. That might be how I end up doing that, especially because Fabianski has picked up a lot of save points in a few matches this season. So yeah.
I have a similar decision to make there too with Matt Ryan on my bench and they're away at Huddersfield on Saturday. So it certainly makes sense for me too to split the GK and the defense.
Right, right. So we'll see. I'm going to decide that over the next couple of days. Then Saturday, we've got a lot of nice range of fixtures on Saturday. Once again, no early fixture. The second game week in a row, Brandon. I don't love that. I like waking up to, you know, 7:30 a.m. on the East Coast with the early fixture.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. It does help me get out of bed at a respectable hour. But Palace Burnley, so a increasingly rare circumstance in which you might roll out Aaron Wan-Bissaka. So that I don't think I can get that far. Huddersfield, Brighton, this is some dour affairs. Leicester, Watford will probably be a little more attacking. We have some actual goal scorers to play for those teams. Then we get to Man City, Bournemouth, and I think this is the match that's going to test most of our FPL lineups because we'll probably all have a Bournemouth attacker. Like you have David Brooks, I have Fraser. Colin Wilson on a lot of people's teams. Do we bench these guys against Manchester City, particularly because they're playing at the Etihad? The likelihood of them breaching that back line, there is always the chance that Ederson just decides to come off his line and just try to chop block somebody.
It's very possible. I would not be stunned at all if Bournemouth scored. I mean, honestly, West Ham should have scored one or two if it wasn't for Antonio. Brandon, don't get me started on Antonio again.
Back to that old chestnut. I won't be able to
control myself. Newcastle West Ham could be a pretty fun match. I see that as like a high scoring draw, maybe like a 2-2 draw or something.
Bit of
like
a shootout, definitely. And then Southampton Man United, this is the question that's going to loom over Jose Mourinho's head all week is what his plan is with Lukaku, because Lukaku is in the doghouse, at least as far as the media is concerned. He is the new fat guy in town, so there always has to be a league fat guy, whether it's Luke Shaw or, weirdly, it was Alexis Sanchez for a while. I guess it's all Manchester United people. Are there a lot of fast food restaurants in Manchester that I don't know about?
I don't know.
A lot of fat guys on that team. So Lukaku, obviously United went on that great run without him, and Martial benefited greatly from it. Does he get to start this match?
I don't know. We'll see. I think Brendan, let's just get right into Derby Sunday here.
West London Derby, Chelsea, Fulham, North London Derby, Arsenal. Oh, man, these are all derbies. How am I just realizing this now?
I don't know.
What to predict? What to predict? I guess
so Chelsea. So I was gonna say from a fantasy perspective, I think Chelsea Fulham is the biggest match, right?
Yep.
I have to decide whether a Chelsea team that should have lost like 9-0 away to Spurs can turn around and just annihilate Fulham You know, I would be nice if they performed well in the Europa League, if they had like a big match, yeah. You know, it kind of reverse the momentum a little bit. That would make me feel a little more comfortable. I mean, the problem is, you know, Aguero is such a great captain choice at home to Bournemouth that it's really tricky. I mean, I really have to decide whether I should captain Hazard. I mean, maybe just having him is enough. You know, at the same time, if Hazard was ever going to have like a 20-point haul, it's in this match, you know.
I want there to be a Valentine's Day card just for FPL managers that says maybe having you is enough. That's a very romantic sentiment.
What about Arsenal Spurs? That's just an interesting one from like a neutral perspective.
Yeah, right? I think this is an easy way out for people who don't own Arsenal or Spurs players, because I think this matchup is going to be so unpredictable. I don't feel obliged to get on any of these players that we were talking about earlier in the pod, like Eriksen or Ali or even Kane, even though Kane is notorious for scoring goals in North London derbies. Same goes for Arsenal. Aubameyang is kind of continuing to build a case for him to get into our team. So I actually look at that as a great pure watch for the weekend for us.
Totally. I mean, a North London pure watch is fantastic. I'm really looking forward to that. And then, Liverpool-Everton. I mean, another – you could absolutely make an argument for captaining a Liverpool player at home in any game week, right?
Yeah.
And, so I think I think we've got a lot of an interesting range of captain options here. I think Aguero will end up being the most captained player, but I think you'll definitely see a spread. I think, even among the Man City players, I think you might see a little bit of a spread. So it should be pretty interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead and start Richarlison in that match and be okay. Yeah. Be okay with him blanking. It's going to be a tough run for Richarlison owners, but I think you should stick with him.
Yeah, and I think the Liverpool defense remains slightly underrated, doesn't it? I mean, it's we haven't really. I know, like when we talked about this last week podcast about doubling up on them, and a bunch of people shared their doubled up teams with me. But you know, I don't know. In general, they really have kept quite a lot of clean sheets on the season, and keeping a clean sheet away to Watford is pretty impressive. I mean, Watford really gave it to them in the first half, and
they did.
They held firm. So
they really did.
And then held firm after the red card.
Yeah, too. I think that Liverpool isn't helped by the fact that they've been good all season. So they haven't really ever been a talking point. The narrative hasn't changed with the Liverpool defense to give us a reason to talk about them. It's just like a continued shootout between Robertson and Alexander Arnold.
Yeah, although, getting that, Robertson really, it was funny because we didn't really talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold at all, but he kind of saved my game week with his 14 points. Great free kick. You've got to think he's, you and I were sort of debating last week about whether he's like a, permanent fixture in that team. But I think just the way he's played the last couple of game weeks, I think that you would expect to see him, in the majority of these matches.
Definitely. He's in great form for sure.
All right. Well, that's the podcast. Just once again, don't forget it's a Friday night start. And Brandon, let's say some thank yous. Let's thank our producers.
Yeah, we couldn't do it without our producers. Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello, Carl Rasmus, Leni Granley, Chris Howell, Rafa Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, and Chris Carter. Thanks to you guys. If you want to become a patron and support the pod, you too could become a producer or join at a different tier of support. That's patreon.com/alwayscheating, and we'll give you a big shout out here on the podcast.
Yep, and a reminder to get your questions in for the Ask Us Anything pod, recording that tomorrow evening. Again, you can ask us the question in any format, and the question can be about whatever you want. Brandon, subscribe to the podcast. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, probably a lot of other places as well. If you give us a review on iTunes or in any of the places you listen, that would be very much appreciated. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at Hail Cheaters. That's HAIL Cheaters. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. If you missed all of this, just visit our website, alwayscheating.com. You can find our store there as well. So if you want to buy a mug or a t-shirt, just go right to the store and buy it. And that'd be great.
Just buy it.
I'm not sure this is a big money maker for us. This is really more about just it's fun. We made the logos, we did the work. Let's slap it on a couple t-shirts and see if anybody.
Yeah, not a huge money maker. Also, it's if you're hesitant to become a month on month Patreon subscriber, this is a great way just to go to the shop to support the podcast. Just by a little bit. It's a one-time purchase. You get something that you can enjoy. Heck, the whole family can enjoy your Always Cheating t-shirt, mug, sweatshirt, whatever it is. And boom, there you are. You've registered your approval of what Josh and I do. And we'd appreciate it. So yeah, check it out.
All right. Well, good luck this weekend, everybody. Brandon and hail Sirloth. You know, I hope he gets some. I hope he plays better. I hope he does better.
Sir Mix Sirlot, we love you.
All right, Brandon. See you next week.
Bye.
Can you say bye-bye to Brandon?
Bye-bye, Brandon.
Oh, bye-bye, Quinn.
Well, that's always cheating. Can you say it one more time? Say, always cheating.
Always cheating.
Okay.